And here's one for guitar fans. Classical guitarist Sharon Isbin will perform at Miami University's Parish Auditorium. This will be Saturday, October 24th at 7:30 p.m. Sharon Isbin, the winner of many Grammys and also Guitar Player Magazine's Best Classical Guitarist Award, thank you for being with us.
It's a pleasure to talk with you, Frank.
So is there a new album that you have out?
There's a new DVD and Blu-ray out, and it's a documentary that was produced by Susan Dangle, and it's called Sharon Isbin Troubadour. It's a one-hour film with a very unusual cast of characters, everybody from musicians we would know, such as Mark O'Connor and Steve Vai from the rock world, and composers Tan Dunn, Chris Rouse, Joan Tower, and John Coriano, of course, and even people like Michelle Obama and Martina Navratilova, David Hyde Pierce. So it's a very fun video to watch. And the release on Blu-ray and DVD is on the Video Artists International label, and that includes a number of bonus tracks that are full performances that are not seen in the film. It actually just won a big award this week, the ASCAP Deems Taylor Virgil Thompson Award for Television Broadcast.
And also there's a couple of CD collections, too. There's one of just Bach, and then there's a larger 5-CD collection as well.
Right. The Bach is called Bach for Guitar. It was released on Warner Classics. It includes all the Bach lute suites. And the 5-CD box set has a number of albums that I did for Warner, Dreams of a World, the Rouse Tan Dunn, Journey to the Amazon, Baroque Favorites, and the album that I did with the New York Philharmonic, still their only album with guitar, and it includes Latin Concerti by Rodrigo, including the Concierto de Aranjuez, and Ponce from Mexico and Villa-Lobos from Brazil. So it's an exciting way to get a lot of material almost for the price of one.
So you've got some 400 or 500 years worth of music to choose from. How do you pick out the material that you perform both in the studio and when you're doing concerts?
Well, it really depends on, for example, if I'm touring with Guitar Passions, I have a trio with Romero Lubambo from Brazil, the Brazilian bossa nova style guitarist, and Stanley Jordan, the jazz guitarist. They were both guests on an album I did called Guitar Passions, and other people joined me on that as well, Steve Vai and Steve Morse, Nancy Wilson from Heart. So it was a real way to honor a lot of my guitar heroes and collaborate with them. The music that I do when I tour with Stanley and Romero is quite different from what I might do with a symphony orchestra. I just finished several performances with the National Symphony here at the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C., and we did the Concierto de Aranjuez. After those performances, I did a solo recital of Latin and Spanish music. So it really depends on the context of what I'm playing and what is in the future. I'm excited about, in November, a couple of concerts at Carnegie Hall that I'm doing. The first one is a benefit for the David Lynch Foundation on November 4th, and I'll be performing with Sting as well as doing solo music. And a week later, I give a recital with the wonderful mezzo-soprano, who's often heard on the Met opera broadcast, Isabel Leonard, and we do a whole program of Spanish music.
So how do you set up, let's say, a solo concert like you're doing on the 24th at Miami University's Parish Auditorium in Hamilton? What goes through your head when you choose music for that particular situation?
Well, I'm going to be playing Spanish works as well as works written for me by Leo Brower from Cuba, a very exciting work called the Black Decameron, which are love ballads, basically, and another work by the American composer Bruce McCombie. So it'll be reflecting a folk heritage of both Spanish and Latin American music and things that have been written for me.
Now, you mentioned those composers. I also see on the list there's the music of Albéniz and Granados, Torrega. There seems to be a focus on more modern pieces. Is there a reason for that?
We would really consider those composers 19th century, and the works by Granados and Torrega are really ones that are very melodic, and audiences instantly fall in love with them because they are so special and mesmerizing. And one of the things that I can always say with confidence is that I choose music that I love, and because of my passion for it, it is shared with the audience.
Now, there's one piece that you've recorded a number of times, the famous Aranjuez Concerto by Rodrigo. You've done that in traditional and non-traditional settings. What is it about that particular piece, I mean, especially the Adagio, that seems to attract every guitarist in the world and at least 25% of all the jazz musicians in the world?
Well, it's the work Rodrigo wrote during a very pivotal time in his life, and he was in the process of writing the entire concerto when he and his wife, who were in their early 30s, lost what would have been their first child, and his wife became very ill. Rodrigo would return each night from visiting her at the hospital, not knowing if she would live or die, and to console himself, he sat at the piano and played the beautiful theme from the Adagio, the Concierto de Aranjuez, and that brought him solace and comfort. It also influenced the way he orchestrated the piece, so it is imbued with this sense of nostalgic loss, yearning, passion, and transformance, and people often are in tears when they hear it. They don't know why, but it is something where he magically managed to capture the essence, I would say, of the Spanish soul. And this has lent itself very well to musicians like Miles Davis and Chick Corea and many others who have found in it a similar resonance.
And let me ask you, too, you mentioned your album Guitar Passions from back in, was it 2011? You recorded with Stanley Jordan, Steve Moore, Steve Vai. These are all very different players from yourself. When you did that, what did you come away with, you know, working with these guys, and what did they learn from working with an acoustic player like yourself?
Well, I've been collaborating in non-classical arenas for a very, very long time, and really started that back in the 80s. And in fact, the centerpiece of that album is the slow movement of the Rodrigo that was arranged for me to perform with Lorindo Almeida, by Lorindo. So this is actually only the second recording existing of this particular setting. And instead of the big orchestral solo at the end of the second movement, it has a bossa nova free-for-all where, in this case, Steve Morris is improvising on electric guitar. And it's just so exciting and visceral and stunning. And I'm really pleased to say that when Rodrigo heard the rendition that I did for the original version with Lorindo and Larry Coryell, he was very excited about it. And he has been always open about embracing his music in different genres.
Another question, too, I have. I think there's a picture of you. You're lying on a hardwood floor, and there's like 20 different guitars surrounding you, and some of them are electric. Do you actually play the electric guitar?
The reason for that photo is the Guitar Passions album, in which I'm collaborating with electric guitars. So we thought that the idea would be communicated in the image of all these different styles by the instruments themselves. If you go to my website, go to the video page, you'll find the trailer to the documentary. And one of the things in there is a vignette that I do with Steve Vai. Of course, it's much more fleshed out in the hour-long form. But in the four-minute trailer, you can see that we're joking around, and he's giving me a lesson on electric guitar. So it's something that I have always admired by the masters who play it, like Steve Vai, Eric Clapton, and so forth. And it's really fascinating when I'm able to work with people who are improvising and allow them that kind of freedom. So the music that we choose really has to be selected in a way that allows everybody to do what they're best at doing.
And one of the things that I, you know, really like about what you've done over the years is that you don't just do the standard stuff. Like there was a recording, an early one, you and Carlos Barbosa Lima. It was really nice transcriptions of Rhapsody in Blue, the Gershwin, and then the music that Bernstein did for West Side Story. To me, that was a fascinating recording because it was just, you know, very familiar music, but done in a very new way.
He's such a brilliant arranger. He's literally done hundreds and hundreds of arrangements, and many of them for me on albums of mine, and he's quite extraordinary at doing that. So when he approached me about the idea of doing a duet album, it was actually the first one we did was music of Jobim, Nazaré, and Pixinguinha, all from Brazil, and that's when I first met Jobim and began to collaborate with him. And the second album is the one you mentioned of Bernstein and Gershwin. So having Carlos at the helm penning the arrangements was really a dream come true.
And let me ask one silly question here. Every few weeks, there's a story of a classical musician, an instrument, and an airline, and it's always a horror story. Has anything like that ever happened to you? Or maybe have you ever left your guitar in the back of a cab like Yo-Yo Ma did with his cello?
Well, I think prevention is really the best approach. So I would never check my guitar. The last time I ever checked my guitar was, you know, a long, long time ago, probably when I was in my early 20s. And I wouldn't do that again. So I always take it on the plane with me, and I determine ahead of time if it will fit in the overhead bin or if there's a closet. And if not, I just buy an extra seat.
Wow, that takes care of the problem right there.
Yes, you don't want to invite the problem. You want to prevent it.
Well, thank you very much for spending the time with us. We've been talking with classical guitarist Sharon Isbin, performing in Hamilton at Parish Auditorium, that's part of Miami University, on Saturday, October 24th at 7:30 p.m. Thank you very much for talking guitar music with us.
Thank you. And isn't that just about 20 minutes away from Cincinnati?
Right, about a half hour, and also about that distance from Dayton, too, so you'll get lots of fans from Southwest Ohio coming. For Around Cincinnati, I'm Frank Johnson.